Recording in progress.
Good evening, everybody. It's 6 p.m. on Tuesday, October 4th. I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for the City of Arroyo Grande. We have a roll call, please.
Chair Martin.
Here.
Vice Chair Maravilla.
Here.
Commissioner Guthrie.
Here.
And Commissioner Buchanan is absent this evening.
Very good. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, any desire from my fellow commissioners to amend the agenda tonight? Very good. And as we do typically with the Planning Commission meeting, we open the meeting with a community comment period, inviting the public to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, and members of the public may provide public comment remotely by joining the Zoom meeting utilizing the methods provided by the city. Please use, if there's anybody out there, please use the raise hand or some, whatever the appropriate mechanism is. Mr. Holb, is there somebody out there who would like to make a comment?
No, we have nobody from the public joining us on Zoom at the moment.
And
looks like there's also nobody here in attendance.
It does appear that.
Sorry, just to chime in, we do have one member of the public that joined on Zoom.
Okay.
I'll ask if they wish to speak.
Correct.
Any members of the public that would like to speak, please raise your hand. Okay, Chair Martin, it looks like there is no raised hands.
Very good. Thank you very much. We're going to close the public comment period, which is item 5, and we're going to move on. Item 6 is written communications. I don't recall receiving any written communications. Were there any communications that were provided to staff that we have not yet received that we need to be made aware of?
None this evening. However, there was one email that came in just right before the meeting started, so I'll go ahead and read that when we get to agenda item number 10.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. On the consent agenda, we have 3 items: the approval of the minutes from the last meeting of September 6th, consideration of a time extension for a conditional use permit 18-007, and a consideration proposed for a street name for tract 2985 at Corbett Canyon Road and Highway 227. Do we need anything more specific than that in order to have a vote on the consent agenda? Okay, I have entertain a motion to approve.
I'll motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Roll call, please.
Vice Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
And Chair Martin?
Yes. The consent agenda items have been approved. We have 2 items up for public hearing tonight. The first one is a consideration of amendments to Title 16 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code regarding tiny homes on wheels, Development Code Amendment 20-004. Mr. Perez, you have a presentation for us?
I do. Thank you, Chair Martin. Members of the Planning Commission, I'm Andrew Perez, the city's planning manager, and this evening I'll be introducing an ordinance that establishes regulations for tiny homes on wheels. So as a little background, tiny home on wheels regulations were initially included in the ADU ordinance that was presented to council on February 8th of this year. In that ordinance, the regulations were included as provisions for permitting tiny homes as a type of ADU. And at that hearing, City Council considered the ordinance and upon discussion determined that the provisions for tiny homes should be separated from the ADU ordinance. So they directed staff to draft a separate ordinance and return to council at a study session. That study session took place last month on September 13th, when staff presented a draft ordinance to council and the public. The most significant change in the ordinance from February to September was the consideration of tiny homes is no longer an ADU, but rather an accessory use to a property developed with a single family dwelling. Another important change is the ordinance does provide some flexibility for the building official to use various codes and regulations when reviewing applications for a tiny home. The draft ordinance also establishes standards for the location of a tiny home on a property, its design, as well, and utility connections. So there is no standard statewide definition of a tiny home. Our ordinance defines a tiny home as a structure built on a chassis and intended for separate, temporary, independent living quarters for one household and meets the following five conditions. The first being it's a self-contained unit that includes facilities to support daily living routines, such as sanitation, cooking, sleeping. The unit must be licensed and registered with the DMV. It must be towable and cannot have motive power. It must be at least 100 square feet in size and no more than 400 square feet. And finally, shall comply with the standards of the appropriate code regulations as determined by the building official. So the ordinance specifically identifies park trailers and manufactured homes as allowed types of tiny homes, in addition to other structures that meet the California Residential Code or California Building Code. So this slide shows an example of a park trailer, one of those allowed, one of those units that's allowed as a tiny home. A park trailer is defined by the Health and Safety Code, section 18009.3. It's a unit that is built on the chassis with wheels and built to the standards established by the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association, which establishes the standards for safety and habitation. A manufactured home is another type of structure allowed as a tiny home. Manufactured homes are defined by the Health and Safety Code, section 18007. Again, this is built on a permanent chassis and transported on its wheels. However, a manufactured home is built to federal housing and urban development or department standards rather than the RVIA standards that the park model is built to. In discussion staff had with council at the February 8th meeting, one of the directions that council provided to staff was that tiny homes should have the resemblance of a traditional stick-built home. So for that reason, recreational vehicles, including motorhomes, travel trailers, and fifth wheels, are prohibited for use as tiny homes. Additionally, camping cabins are allowed as tiny homes in other jurisdictions. However, Health and Safety Code does prohibit plumbing in these type of structures. Therefore, they're unable to support the daily routine daily living routines included in the definition, so also prohibited as a type of tiny home. As I previously mentioned, a tiny home is allowed as an accessory use on any lot that is developed with a single family dwelling. However, properties with a permanent ADU would not be allowed to add a tiny home. And similar to ADUs, a tiny home would be ineligible for use as a short-term rental. With regards to the development standards, a tiny home must be located behind the existing single-family dwelling and is subject to four-foot setbacks on the rear and interior property lines. For corner lots, there is a 10-foot setback requirement from the street side property line. The tiny home must be parked and installed on a paved pad with curbs or something similar to prevent movement of the installed tiny home. No additional parking is required on the lot for the tiny home. And the tiny home must be connected to city water and sewer utilities. However, the unit may be off-grid for electrical and natural gas requirements, as long as they're built to the building officials and building code satisfaction. To ensure that the tiny home resembles the general appearance of a traditional home, there are 5 design criteria that the unit must meet. The windows must be constructed of double pane glass and have an exterior trim. Any mechanical equipment must be incorporated into the unit and may not be located on the roof of the tiny home. Attached patios and decks are allowed at an area up to equal that of the size of the tiny home. The undercarriage, including the wheels, chassis, trailer hitch, all must be hidden from view by either skirting or landscaping. And finally, the tiny home is limited to 1 story or 16 feet in height, whichever is less. So adoption of the ordinance will be categorically exempt per sections 15303 and 15305 of the CEQA guidelines with regards to projects consisting of new construction or conversion of small structures and minor alterations to land use limitations. The agenda and staff report were posted at City Hall in accordance with Government Code Section 54954.2. And commenters and people expressing interest in tiny homes were also notified separately about tonight's meeting. So in conclusion, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution to recommend to the City Council that it adopt the Tiny Home on Wheels ordinance. And that concludes my presentation, but I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Very good, thank you. Mr. Guthrie, you have questions for staff on this item?
No, I don't have any questions. So.
Ms. Maravilla?
I just had one kind of minor question, but the 1 story and 16 feet in height, will that exclude them having lofts if they want lofts?
From the models and floor plans that I've seen, mm-hmm. most can accommodate a loft.
At that height level?
Yeah, and still meet that height requirement.
Because I remember when it feels like 2 years ago when we first talked about this, mm-hmm. someone did come in and kind of show us a lot of those pre-manufactured models. Mm-hmm. For those particular models, would it?
Those, from my understanding, those will all comply. Yeah, I've had some correspondence with, I believe it's Mr. Poland who from Central Coast Tiny Homes, and most of those units. I think all of the units are less than 16 feet. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I have no questions. This is a public hearing item. I am going to open this up to the public for anyone from the public that would like to address this issue. If there's someone that is online that would like to address this issue for the tiny home resolution, now's the time to raise your hand or express that interest. We'd be happy to introduce you and provide you some time.
Again, as a reminder, if anyone from the public would like to speak on this, please raise your hand. Chair Martin, there are no raised hands.
Very good. Thank you very much. So I'm going to close public hearing, the public hearing aspect of this, and return it to the commission for any kind of final comments. Do you have any other comments before a motion is made?
No comments before the motion.
No. And I will do the honors here. I move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande recommending the City Council adopt an ordinance approving Development Code Amendment Number 22-004 regarding the establishment of regulations for tiny homes on wheels. Seeking a second.
I will second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote, please.
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
And Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Very good. Item 8A passes. And this is a highlight on the primary agenda. I noted it mentally when I read it the first time, but on item 8A, it says Development Code Amendment 20-004. Let's make sure that typo gets cleared up to say 22-004. That's what we just approved was resolution for item 22-004. Minor typo, let's just kind of make it clean. Second public hearing item is consideration of appeal to a planning commission on case 22-001, appeal of plot plan review 22-026 for the establishment of a vacation rental at 1136 East Grand Avenue. Mr. Perez, is this yours, or Mr. Holub, this is your item?
I'll take this one. Thank you, Chair Martin.
Thank you.
My name is Patrick Holub. I'm the city's associate planner, and we'll be taking a look at appeal case number 22-001 for a vacation rental located at 1136 East Grand Avenue, Unit 2. So you can see here the project site is located in the area generally surrounded by East Grand Avenue, Briscoe Road, and the drive. It does primarily take access from Grand Avenue. However, there is a portion of the property that does touch Linda Drive. The property itself is zoned Fair Oaks mixed use. The property itself is developed with three separate residential units. And the approval in question this evening is to allow vacation rental in unit number 2. So there are a diverse mixture of uses in this corridor, primarily commercial and mixed use, with some residential uses further north and south of the project site. So just a very quick background. I'm sure you're all familiar with our short-term rental regulations based on our recent meetings, but the regulations that we're currently working with were established in 2014 based on public comment that was received starting in 2013. A total of 5 public hearings were conducted to ultimately develop what's known as ordinance number 663. And that is what the ordinance that governs vacation rentals and homestays within the city. Sorry about that. There we go. Plot plan review 22-026 was approved by the community development director on June 9th, which would allow the establishment of a vacation rental. In staff's estimation, all the required performance standards were demonstrated to be met. I also wanted to point out that the approval was just for the use of unit number 2, which is a total of 2 bedrooms and structure. And as part of the approval process, we did review the provided items, including an emergency contact person. On August 2nd at our Planning Commission meeting, there was public comment that was received regarding the eligibility of that emergency contact, with specific regard to whether or not the phone number in question belonged to that emergency contact. So as part of the approval process, a notice of approval was sent to all property owners within 300 feet of that property, and it included that person's name and contact number. And then again, during our meeting on August 2nd, the Planning Commission voted to appeal that approval to sort out any issues with regard to the emergency contact phone number. As I mentioned, the public comment period for the administrative approvals on that agenda was when we received comments from the public regarding the emergency contact. Staff has done additional research into that phone number and the person that it belongs to, and has been assured that that phone number is that person's personal cell phone and does not belong to any nonprofit or other organization. However, that individual is a member of the board for that nonprofit organization, which may be part of the confusion. So based on the information that we've received, staff is of the opinion that the emergency contact has met all provisions of the performance standard number 5 in question regarding the eligibility of being an emergency contact person. This project itself is exempt from CEQA based on Section 15301 for existing facilities. And with that short presentation, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the prepared resolution denying appeal case 22-001, which would thereby approve the original approval plot plan review 22-026. And I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Guthrie, you have a question.
I do. So did you actually contact the using that number, contact the individual who is who's going to be the contact person?
Yes, I've spoken with him a number of times and calling that number directly before and after this application.
And he lives within 15 minutes.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, it was my concern that we had a number of these numbers that proved not to be workable, and I just wanted to verify. So I do know we now have procedures in place that I think will take care of concerns in the future, so that if we know in advance that this number is going to work or not. So I have no problem with staff's recommendation.
I did also want to mention that we have the individual, the emergency contact person available, should there be any questions for them, how we have them available on Zoom.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Maravilla, you have questions?
I do not.
Okay. The only question I have, and I don't think it's out of order, it doesn't have to do with the emergency contact, but when I looked at this property in this building, it did appear to me to be a multi-unit building, and it's being described tonight as three residential units. From signage, it appeared it may have office use in the past. Is that, and here, not, for me, this isn't material as far as approval or disapproval. I'm just trying to get clear that people coming for a vacation rental are going to be renting one of three units, and whether it is an insurance agency or a doctor's office or a nail salon, there could be actually a business operating there next door. Can you just expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so based on the zoning, the property itself would support a mixture of commercial uses as well as residential.
Right.
But it is our understanding that the current construction that's there is designed as a residence based on building codes and other factors. And so that's reflected in the site plan and floor plans that were provided as part of the application.
So to the best of your knowledge, we have three different rental units. One is being converted to a short-term rental.
Correct. There's one-bedroom unit and two-bedroom units, with the unit two being the largest of the two-bedroom units.
Okay. Very good. I just looked at that. It's just unusual to have that kind of residential type of property right there on Grand Avenue. I just want to get that clarification. I don't have any other questions. This is a public hearing item, and I don't have any questions for the applicant either. So at this point, but we'll open up for the public. If there is anyone from the public that would like to address the commission on this item concerning the appeal of a short-term vacation rental, now is the time to raise your hand. If I can get that kind of support from our back support there to invite anybody to join us.
Chair Martin, there are no raised hands.
Very good. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the public hearing aspect of this item. And are there any other comments or questions from my fellow commissioners at this point? Then I'm going to do the honors once again just to help this thing facilitate getting the meeting moving along. And I will move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande denying appeal case number 22-001 and approving plot plan review case number 22-006, 22-026, located at 1136 East Grand Avenue, applied for by William Ruff and appealed by the Planning Commission. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote, please.
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Very good. Moving on, we have no non-public hearing items on the agenda tonight, and we have four items on four administrative items that have been approved since our last meeting. It looks like all four of them are vacation rentals. Are there any questions or comments on any of these items from the commission?
So just from the council meeting, was it the last one or the one before? at any rate, when we were counting up to 91 or whatever, were these four included in that 91 and then the appeals?
Correct. Yeah. So we were asked to provide the total number of current approvals, pending approvals, appealed approvals, applications pending. And so to my understanding, that number is still at 97, which is what we provided to the council last week. Okay. And yes, so these were included in that 97 figure. I did want to make a statement about one of the approvals on the list here. So I believe it was after we published the agenda, but regardless, one of the items on here, the second item for approval, The vacation rental at 444 Walnut Street was subsequently appealed by a member of the public. So we'll be scheduling a separate hearing for that particular approval. And then in addition to that, we did receive email correspondence regarding item number one that I'd like to read to the record.
Very good. Thank you.
So this email was sent by Sam and Joan Prim, who we have lived in the village of Arroyo Grande for 16 enjoyable retired years and feel strongly that the planned vacation rental would be disruptive to the quiet neighborhood. There's security in knowing your immediate or close neighbors. Mark Vasquez's mother, Barbara, is a wonderful neighbor and friend. We do not wish to upset her with this request. However, many children walk to school on our street and play in our immediate area in the street with bikes and skateboards. Many people take the street for walking. Pool Street then ends at Whiteley and has increased traffic turning daily at each end of the block. At Whiteley, left seems to now be a busy shortcut to Elm Street and elsewhere. Several years ago, a car taking the turn too fast at Whiteley and Pool crashed into the side of our house. After about 2 years, the city installed a stop sign, which helps slow down traffic. Thank you. There's potentially dangerous crossroad at Pool and Mason, where cars stream most of the time left to Branch Street, another shortcut to keep from going to traffic lights on Branch East through town. There are only two stop signs east and west, and none for north and south. Drivers go very fast at this intersection. I guess what I am saying is we already have a lot of traffic. Increased traffic is a concern, as is the impact of unknown vehicles parked just a few steps from our door. Often people who travel use large RVs and may also be pulling a car that needs to park on the street. The short-term traveler needs to unpack and move in and then pack up to move out. This activity might happen 2, 3, or more times in some months, or possibly all the time. The peaceful, tranquil village life, a hallmark of Arroyo Grande, would be missed. Thank you for considering our appeal to not have a vacation rental next door to our home. Sincerely, Sam and Joan Prim.
Now, does this appear to be part of a more formalized appeal, or this is just an email expressing their opinions?
I think they are mistaken with how the appeal process would proceed, so we'll be in contact with them tomorrow and make sure that they have the opportunity to appeal the decision.
If they wish to appeal, they may. Okay. Any comments by fellow commissioners on this? I think we're going to move on here fairly quickly. Any commission communications? Any comments you would like to make or add at this point?
Well, I did want to ask staff, where are we with finding the consultant for the general plan?
Brian Pedrotti, Community Development Director. We are working on finalizing the RFP. So we're deep in that process. We hope to have something out before the end of the year.
Thanks.
And I'm going to ask, kind of piggybacking on that, semi-related, are we getting close to finding a consultant or a firm or whatever is going to help us do some of the review and record keeping and investigations on the vacation rentals and, counting them, and I'll say code enforcement on non-permitted vacation rentals?
Yes, we are. We have ranked and identified a top firm and are working on the contract right now. I believe we're still in contract right now. We're working on the contract. We haven't approved the contract yet. So,
okay. But close.
Very close.
Excellent.
If I can just quickly provide a little bit more context. So part of the reason why the contracting part's taking a little bit longer than we originally anticipated is because the administrative services department asked us if there was a way to incorporate an online TOT payment portal. And so they adjusted their proposal to account for that. And so that was part of the delay.
That sounds great to me. Hopefully whatever systems the city can put in place to facilitate that kind of communication and payment would be very, very helpful, and obviously essential that whatever firm that we get is going to be auditing that or checking that is going to be able to get access to all methods of contact and communication with the city. I would just like to add that I just returned home today from the Anaheim American Planning Association convention. It was a statewide convention that was held in Anaheim this year. I attended and was joined by the members of our
planning staff here. I had a great time, learned a great deal, and nothing more than our small town, I think, is doing an awful lot the right way. And I think that if we continue to focus on our efforts of putting criteria and conditions on projects in a reasonable way that allows for some flexibility so that applicants and developers can successfully wade through the process in order to bring projects to the city, we're on the right track. So it was an enjoyable experience for me, and I appreciate attending. Any staff comments?
Thank you, Brian Pedrotti, Community Development Director. Just a few updates. The ADU ordinance was approved on September 27th by the City Council, adopted. It will become effective in 30 days, although we will send a copy to the HCD, the State Housing Community Development Department, and hopefully they will accept it and not have any revisions to it. Otherwise, it'll become effective. The short-term rental ordinance, the continued introduction was on the 27th as well, and it's scheduled for October 11th for adoption. Same with the parklets ordinance, which was introduced on the 27th of September and is scheduled for October 11th adoption. So,
very good.
Lots of things going on.
And we've been accomplishing an awful lot this summer. It's been a busy summer for staff and the commission and the city council. We appreciate everyone's efforts. With that, this meeting is adjourned. It's at 6:32. Quick meeting, but we took care of some business. Thank you very much, everybody.